This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. These days, there are a lot of ways to protest. You can write a very snarky Facebook post, write a letter to the editor, call into a radio talk show, or you can take it to the streets. Massive street protest demanding change is an American institution. But is it a right? Should groups have the ability to shut down major streets during rush hour to express their views, and then without having to pay a fee to cover the cost for police? San Antonio has a parade ordinance in place that requires police approval and money to pay for street closures, but the San Antonio Free Speech Coalition says that's unfair. Well, what do you think? We want to hear your views about street protests and who's going to pay for it. Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. You can also email us at thesource@tpr.org. And you can tweet us at TPR Source. We're joined this afternoon. We have with us in the studio Roberto Trevino. He's the San Antonio City Council member representing District 1. Also is Jolene Garcia, an organizer with the San Antonio Free Speech Coalition, and Elizabeth Provencio. She is the first assistant city attorney for the city of San Antonio. And again, the number to call in is 210-614-8980. And let me start off with Roberto Trevino. You're our city council member on taking point on this issue. And so right now, the parade ordinance, how is it working?
Well, so I guess I got to go back and give a little history of how this occurred. We had some protests happening at our airport, and it all started with...
When was that?
This was back in January.
Okay.
January.
That was the refugee ruling from the president, Trump, and then there was an outburst of protest.
That is correct.
Around the country.
Around the country, and, you know, San Antonio is no different, and we had a lot of folks at our airport that wanted to express their concern over this. So they contacted me. I then started investigating this further. I want to say, number one, I want to thank our city attorney's office, Liz Provencio, here representing, of course, Andy Segovia, was one of the first people I talked to. And I said, listen, Andy, I want to know more about this, and I'm going to need your help. And I want to get your help getting a better understanding of why we are set up this way, because it really seemed very complicated. And, you know, this is something that he took on with a lot of with a lot of enthusiasm. So I want to just say thank you to Andy Segovia and his team, because they've been very, very proactive and very collaborative on this. You know, what we've discovered was that there was a lot of issues regarding how we go about this and who had an administrative authority to allow something to happen, and who talks to whom, where you get the permits, how much it costs. It was just complicated. It was a ball of wires. So he helped me write the CCR, and the CCR has really now, in partnership with Jolene and the Freedom of Speech Coalition, has really blossomed into what I think is helping to untangle these wires to better improve something that is one of the most essential rights we have, and that's freedom of speech here in San Antonio.
But San Antonio does have a tradition of protest, but peaceful protest. We do not have a violent outburst and things like that, right?
No, we don't. And I think that's also been part of what we've seen in this effort. It's in this collaboration. It's also been something that we talked about, and what we see here in San Antonio. We want it to be for San Antonio. In working through this these issues, we work with our deputy city manager, Eric Walsh, and folks from the SAPD to better understand how we can actually have something that is tailored to San Antonio and really is something that reflects our community.
Now, Elizabeth Provencio, the first assistant attorney for the city of San Antonio, what is the ordinance right now?
Currently, and thank you so much for having us, we appreciate the opportunity to have a discussion about this, and certainly appreciate the collaborative efforts of all the community stakeholders, including the Free Speech Coalition, who have been working with us on this. But to get to what we currently have in place is a parade ordinance that governs the permitting process for folks that want to be able to have an event. And when it comes to free speech or those activities protected by the First Amendment, effectively our ordinance allows those, and the city picks up the costs up to $3,000 of it. So it's effectively, there's no cost with the exception of the permit fee at this point in time up to that $3,000 threshold. And if you go beyond it, then the organization covers the cost. And so historically, the majority of events that have been held with under forced free speech have fallen within the free space up to the $3,000. And so what the proposal going forward that will be considered by council and what was discussed and recommended before the holidays is that we eliminate the permit fee altogether, and we don't have that $3,000 threshold anymore. So if your costs do exceed the $3,000, the organization does not have to absorb those.
Jolene Garcia with the Free Speech Coalition, how do you feel about these proposed changes?
So first of all, just to clarify, the airport protesters were threatened with arrest. They were asked to leave. They were said that if they did not leave, that they would be taken off the premises. And so that's very serious. It is a peaceful protest, but I think very clearly we just need to define and know that there our community is being silenced in many different ways. And that's the case as it stands right now. For instance, the Medicare for All protest, the demonstration that was planned, it was quoted when asked for a permit. It was quoted $7,000 to $10,000 in order to have their march. And so the reason that we brought this issue to the city council was because there was silencing happening all across San Antonio. And this particular ordinance affects each and every resident of this city. If you want to have your voice heard, then you have to pay. And that's the ordinance as it stands right now. But and we're proposing changes, and that's what the whole thing is about. And the key to this is to understand that the 17 white men that run the city do not want to see the residents have their voice heard, because they're very comfortable helping make the decisions that determine the direction of this city. And yet the residents, that's who this city belongs to. The city belongs to the working families of this community, the teachers, and each and every cultural tradition, because not only does the free speech ordinance or the processions ordinance affect demonstrations, it also impacts cultural traditions. So posadas, funeral processions, a number of religious processions that take place throughout the community, Dia de los Muertos marches, all of those would have to go through this process as well. And they use public spaces. And what we're doing here is we're opening up public spaces to the people of San Antonio.
Okay, so I got to take a break here, but when I come back or want to try and get the answer that we're looking for is, how do you feel about these changes that are being proposed? And the phone lines, they're open. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. We're talking about free speech in San Antonio, if people should be able to have marches in the streets of San Antonio without getting permits, without having to pay for police street closure. 210-614-8980. The source continues after this break. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the parade ordinance in San Antonio. It has been called unfair. It has been called burdensome. It said it has chilled free speech in San Antonio, and there has been pushback. Although this ordinance has stood up and has survived court challenges, Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, they have said that that this is a protest. Protesters have alternatives to express themselves, unburdened by fees. They can have protests in parks, sidewalks, and street routes that are less crowded with traffic. So, but the San Antonio City Council is saying they're still not, they think there is room to compromise here and try to allow a way to have protests in San Antonio that are visible and will allow people the opportunity to share their views. Well, what do you think about that? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. And so Jolene Garcia, organizer with the San Antonio Free Speech Coalition, there is a, what do you think about these changes that are being proposed to the to the parade ordinance?
The changes are a great improvement on the earlier process. What we've advocated for was a removal of the barrier of cost. So the city has agreed to that, and we're very proud to have worked alongside them to achieve that. Other things that we're asking for is we don't want a confrontation with police on the streets. We'd rather work the issues out to where protests are allowed to continue on the streets, because they're much safer on the streets, and we have every right to access those public spaces because we're taxpayers and residents of the city. And so the sidewalks, a lot of times they push protesters or demonstrations onto the sidewalks. That's where you have your park benches. That's where you have your poles. You have a lot of obstructions on those sidewalks. They're uneven. And so they're potential for a lot more difficulty for marchers. And so it's a basic right, as Councilman Trevino said. The free speech First Amendment is something that we're trying to make a reality here in San Antonio. And the more that we include our residents in the process of decision making and having a voice and a platform for that voice, the better our democracy will be, the better and more informed our decisions are going to be here in the city. And we feel the more inclusive and participatory our public is going to be, because we have an abysmal low voter turnout. I think a lot of people feel that the government's not working for them because they don't feel that their voice and their interests are being represented. And this is an avenue for every resident to participate.
All right, let's go to the callers. Number is 210-614-8980. Tiara is on the line. Tiara, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, good to be with you.
Right.
I would just like to show support for the Free Speech Coalition as a member of Move San Antonio, one of the civic education organizations that's a part of the coalition, and just second everything that Jolene is saying. As someone who identifies as having a disability, the right to our streets as a public space is so important, and we need to do everything we can to uphold that.
All right. Well, thank you for the call. And you want to get a response to that? Councilman Roberto Trevino, District 1.
I think that's something we've been talking about how we can make that work. And I would reference a wonderful meeting that was held at the Esperanza Peace and Justice Center between city attorneys. Andy Segovia was there. We had Eric Walsh, SAPD, Jolene, lots of folks to really discuss what are some of these issues. And I got to admit, to point out that some of our sidewalks are in bad shape, that's a fact. I mean, year after year, the community does point out that we need to improve our sidewalks. But what we're talking about right now is how do we improve this process to help provide a safe procession and one that is open and fair to all. I think we were very, very focused on this. I'm very proud of the fact that these are some great first steps, and we know that we're focused on making sure that there's constant improvement wherever we need to make on this particular process.
Let me get another caller. This is Yanni. Yanni, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. I just had a general comments about the topic at hand, which I think is very important. My first comment is that it's kind of absurd to think that we need to ask permission to exercise our free speech or to have marches, and having to file for a permit and so forth is kind of asking for permission to be in agreement or to be able to exercise civil disobedience, which is contrary to, I think, what Americans believe in. Two, the idea that the city or that there are these costs that the police have to pay for is also just illogical, because as citizens, we pay taxes. The city, the police, none of that exists without the taxes that we pay. Three, the idea that this is the most progressive city council as well. If that is true, then we need to continue to make sure that as San Antonio does not go in the way as other cities and having rules and laws that prohibit free speech, like what just happened with not being able to have handheld signs at city council meetings, and where you can accidentally hit a protester and that's not considered to be any type of criminal offense. So I think that the city council, in going into this dialogue and thinking about these issues, I think it's very important.
Okay, Yanni, you brought up three great things for us to tackle. First off, is there anything in San Antonio about signs and the shit that Yanni brought up? That's not a local issue.
Well, when we try to, if you go into city council chambers, you can't have a sign that says your message. They will take that away because you have to go through the security measures before you get in. They will take away any signs that you have.
Okay. Is that something that has come to your attention before?
I've got to admit, that's news. I have seen signs, and so maybe if that's happening, that's a new thing, but we'll look into it for
sure. I've seen signs before. I've seen people wearing T-shirts with messages before. People on they're on the periphery of the city council. They're not in the blocking everyone's view, but they're off to the sides.
Or blocking cameras if we have cameras so that there's access. But, again, this is just a good point. It's important to point out that these callers are pointing out some important things we could look into, and so
at least we could clarify. Is that something that we could Elizabeth talk about as a what are the policies, make sure that we know what they are?
Absolutely, and we can certainly clarify and elaborate in response to that. But I just wanted to cover all of the interest and the balance that needs to be addressed at hand in terms of, how we review and how we come up with the recommendations for improvement on this. And absolutely, I think everybody here that has been working on the process agrees that, safeguarding and promoting citizens' First Amendment rights is a priority that's shared in concert with the sharing of public spaces and the others that use those public spaces as well and their rights, in addition to maintaining public safety. So as we come up and we work through each of these issues that we work through for purposes of recommendation to policy to council, that's what's always part of the evaluation, because it's very easy for us to look at it from one side and be, promoters of free speech, and which we all are, but at the same time, the balance of public safety, in addition to the sharing of public spaces, which all the other citizens are entitled to as well, is part of the equation. So just wanted to kind of open up, right, those points, just so it's clear for the listeners out there that, that is sort of the full evaluation as we go through each of these. And the idea of being able to apply for a permit, which as part of this process, we're proposing to reduce the time as well as reduce the cost, that there's a response to the permit, is so that there can be more timely activity for organizing all of those things. We absolutely agree with that. But if there is a permit as part of the process, and you certainly always have the opportunity for spontaneous assembly as well, but if you to obtain a permit effectively allows everybody to be able to plan for it, so that there is public safety measures in place, there can be street closures, there can be traffic control measures, all of the things that help facilitate it on all ends for those purposes. But by all means, there are rights to spontaneous action as well, and we just don't want that to be overlooked.
But to Yanni's first caller's first point about it seems absurd to ask permission to have a protest, and you brought up some great points. You want to make sure it really comes down to, why are you having this protest? protests or marches serve multiple functions. They can be a show of force, how much support you have for a particular idea. They can energize a base. It's a great way to educate a base about an issue, and everyone comes out and you hear speeches and you share forms and also coordinate a message and streamline a message within that group. But if the message is the disruption, that you want to cause a disruption, and the disruption is the message, that's when we have an issue. But that's not what you're, is that what you're asking for? You know, Jolene, I don't think that's what you're asking for.
Well, freedom of speech is just that. You know, people are going to express it in different ways, and I don't think I'm the one that would like to limit that. What we're saying, though, is that this, by large measure, it is really going to increase access to a forum for people's voice. That is what this comes down to. And people will use that in many different manners. And so what is most important to, I think, note here is that across the country, and the caller mentioned this, people are cracking down on free speech. And I'm at least proud that our city here in San Antonio, we are taking measures to ensure that folks are included into the public dialogue on issues. So that's an improvement. And in some cities, they're saying that you can't have a spontaneous protest. That's a spontaneous protest or demonstration is where an issue happens. Within 24 hours, you respond to that
issue. Like the airport.
Like the airport, like the travel ban, the refugee ban. And so we want to keep that, and we want to have it as safely as possible. So the Free Speech Coalition has worked with the city to try to achieve that goal. But we're going to err on the side of free speech, always. We're going to try to promote that and make sure that folks' voice is heard. And that's what we've done with our recommendations to the city.
Right. So, and to be clear, that what's happening right now at City Council is that you're trying to relax an ordinance that has been criticized for being overly burdensome, although survived a court challenge. But so, Roberto Trevino, District 1, this is there's an adversarial relationship between you and protesters, but you just got to make sure, you know, people stay in their lane. Is that one way of looking at it?
No. I think we need to look at the fact that we represent the city, and the city has a moment where it wants to exercise its voice. We need to realize that's one of our charges as representatives on council for the city.
But there are always going to be protesters,
sure,
not happy with what you decide. You know, you may decide to make an action, whether to close down a trailer park for one reason or another, for public safety issues, and that's disruptive to a community, and they're going to protest. And so there you have a point of friction. We got to make sure that protests are respected and allowed to proceed.
Absolutely, and that's part of the system. I would just point out that I one of my hopes in developing this is that it really sets the example of how the city must constantly look to improve its process. It's a city with a lot of history. It's a city with many, many layers and cultures that have existed for, and now we're celebrating our 300 year. We just created a innovation and technology committee, and innovation isn't just about technology. Innovation is about innovating process, making sure that people know that those processes are there for them. And if the process is designed on purpose or by accident to be exclusive, then we need to really take a closer look.
And transparency is a big part of that.
Absolutely.
And that's what this is about this afternoon, as we talk through what changes are being proposed for the San Antonio Parade Ordinance. If you've got a comment or a question, we'd love to hear from you. We're going to take a break right now. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. We've got several callers lined up, and we'll get right to them when we come back from this break. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the parade ordinance and your right to protest in the streets of San Antonio. We've seen it in the 1960s. We saw it with the suffragette movement here, and San Antonio was a leader in fighting for a women's right to vote. There's all sorts of movements that have taken to the streets. We've seen it recently, also in the last year, with some actions from our president, President Trump. If you've got a question or comment, the number is 210-614-8980, and Gabby is on the line. Gabby, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, it's actually Debbie, but the question that I had is about the airport ordinance. I was at the final meeting where everybody was talking about what would be allowed, that you did bump the amount of participants from 3 to protest inside of the airport to 30, and then we were shown different locations where people could actually protest. But what wasn't clarified or clear is if it said, they said 30 people, is it 30 per area or is it 10, like a total of 30, 10, 10, 10? And if that's the case, then who selects who gets to come in and protest and who doesn't?
All right, Debbie, thank you for the call. And so let's go to the first assistant city attorney for the city of San Antonio, Elizabeth Provencio. And what is being proposed? And answer to her question.
You bet. And first, I want to start with the context of airports because they're not traditional public forums. So, right, unlike your streets, sidewalks, and parks, which are open forum for all of these activities. The airport is governed by FAA, and it also is operationally designed to be an airport. So first and foremost,
and there are large security concerns.
Correct. So, but with that in mind, so the law treats it differently, and as a result, operationally, it gets treated differently as well. But understanding that it's all our goal to be able, again, to facilitate activity there, free speech activity, to the extent it's consistent with the operational exercise of what needs to be done and how we're governed by what occurs there. What's being proposed is an expansion of what's allowed to occur indoors, as well as how to create and space for it to occur outdoors as well, so that if we get a large spontaneous event or we have something occur, like what was the impetus for the consideration at the beginning of the year, that we have the ability, the folks that want to be able to come out and have their word heard, have an expectation of what's going to occur, and we don't have the, you know, sort of the uncertainty of what occurred earlier in the year, as well as for planning purposes and training purposes for our folks that are out at the airport. So to the caller's question with regard to the 30, it will depend, right? It'll depend on the activity of where they're at, what it is, if it's and the, you know, it's going to be sort of circumstance specific. And so, you know, if 10 wanted to be in a particular area and it wasn't intrusive or impeding, you know, folks getting their baggage and or trying to get to the ticket counters, it's not going to be a problem. But if it's, you know, 10 to 30 that are, then you've got to be able to, you know, sort of move them to a different spot.
I would just simply add to that because it's important to point
out. This is Roberto Trevino, District 1 City Council member.
I think it's important to point out, because this came specifically from this event, is that we also want to grant our aviation director some flexibility because he understands the operations, of course, the regulations of the FAA. So we're granting the airport director some flexibility in that.
Okay, so Jolene Garcia with San Antonio Free Speech Coalition.
So our concern is definitely that if you're trying to decide, give more discretion to the director at the airport, that gives a lot of subjectivity to the decisions that are being made. If folks, if for instance, just pit two different scenarios, one where a member of the Black community has their rights violated at the airport, and then within 24 hours we show up to go and protest. First of all, there's a two-day requirement. You have to, you know, put in your request to go and protest at the airport, and so the director of the airport can decide whether or not to grant that protest the right to be there because there's this two-day period. Now, other scenario, the Spurs win the championship and we all want to go and show up at the airport to welcome them back. How are those two scenarios going to be treated?
Well, the Spurs don't fly into the main terminal, and the people are at a gate along a fence
what,
line.
What if they all they want to show up at this, you know, in different scenarios, if they just want to show up at, you know, whatever place and show their pride, if they want to, you know, go and they're there at the airport. The point I'm trying to make is that we don't want there to be discretion to the point where one individual can say your protest can happen here or your protest, you know, cannot, because
but it also isn't your point that the airport is not an arbitrary location. This is where these policies that you find objectionable are happening. This is where people are being detained and people are being turned away from. And so you felt like it was there was a need for that protest to happen at that location.
That's right. It and so when folks showed up there and they tried to gather near the baggage claim area, which they felt they're, you know, that's where they can meet the audience that most they want to have hear their message.
Okay.
And that's a part of free speech. And I think the city attorney would agree that the part of free speech is an access point to your audience. And that
sure.
needs to be protected, too.
Okay. Another caller, Jen. Hi, Jen. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. On the coattails of the last conversation, yes, I believe free speech is important, but I think the health and welfare of the common people is more important. And if you're protesting outside of a hospital, for example, and emergency room patients can't get in, people can die. So, you know, where do we draw the line? So I think that, and maybe this has been discussed already, there's got to be a compromise. There, someone must be able to offer some kind of avenue that both the protesters and the common, you know, the community can agree on. And I'm wondering if maybe it's already been mentioned, if there's not an area that can be designated, and I'm not talking about the baggage claim in the airport. I don't think that that's any place for protest. You want to protest, go outside of the news station where immediately you'll be heard. But that aside, I think that San Antonio had a designated area for different types of protests, depending on the numbers. And if people insisted that it be in an area that would impact traffic or businesses, that's then where the permit fees and additional cost applies. If you want to pay the extra cost, then those impact fees benefit the businesses either way. But
okay. All right. So, Jen, thank you for that. Do you want to respond to that, Jolene Garcia?
So, originally it was proposed that some of the free speech areas would be far away from the terminal. And we opposed that because that would not give you access to a reasonable access to your to the audience. And I want to underscore the word reasonable. I think that that the Free Speech Coalition, in working alongside the city, has tried to work out reasonable expectation, reasonable rules to guide this process. And where there is a conflict, we've tried to work it out definitely to the benefit of public safety and free speech, and having both of those both of those issues served.
And Elizabeth Provencio, city attorney, city of San Antonio, how do you strike that balance? Providing access, visibility, but trying to minimize disruption.
Well, obviously, we consult the experts, right? And so we go for questions regarding the airport. We go to our airport director and those personnel. When it comes to public safety, we work with PD. And so that's why it's important for us to have this community conversation, because we get the input of the experts in combination with those that are experienced in exercising their rights, such as the Free Speech Coalition and their membership. And so to be able to work through and talk through those and through those different scenarios, and to use examples that we have, such as the protest and counter-protest that we had at Travis Park. And so for us to be able to work through those
constructively.
That was over
the Civil War Memorial.
Correct. And so for us to be able to work through those and have constructive conversations where in the end, when we make recommendations to council in terms of where we believe that that policy strikes the balance on the three fronts that we've mentioned before, which is the promotion and protection of free speech rights, the sharing of community spaces with all community members, and public safety. And that's why we come with confidence to the council, having talked to the experts, work with the community members, work through the best language that we feel confident in proposing to council members, so that they can then deliberate over it and ultimately determine the final policy. We believe that strikes the balance that's necessary.
But sometimes you have to weigh how much disruption is going to be acceptable. If you can, I'm going to be 5 minutes late getting to where I need to go because of this protest that's being held. You know, how much is that versus weighed against these people being able to exercise their free speech?
Well, and I think, honestly, it has been a good dialogue because, for example, some of the proposals that we got from the Free Speech Coalition, for example, of the permitting times and when to protest, they've excluded the hours of rush hour, effectively, within that. So
right.
Their proposed changes actually would, you know, help and recognize that there are just other times that it's just more sensitive when it comes to traffic and those types of things.
Okay. All right. We're going to take another break. We've got a lot of callers here. We'll get them on the air. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Miguel, we'll get you on the air next. The Source continues after this break. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about protests in the streets of San Antonio. Sometimes things get a little unruly. How do we make sure that public safety is observed, people have a chance to exercise their right to free speech, and that people aren't interrupted on their way to and from where they want to go? The number to call in if you've got a question or comment, 210-614-8980. Miguel is on the line. Miguel, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello, thank you, Mr. Davies, and thank you, Mr. Trevino, for coming out today. It's a real service to the community. I just have two questions really quick. Number one, what are the ordinances surrounding spontaneous groups gathering in public spaces that are not thoroughfares, like Milam Park or something like that? And number two, after the wake of the Charlottesville white nationalist movements and marches up there, I know that that city has moved to curb certain political groups from even marching. And as much as I find what they say reprehensible, I am a big proponent of the First Amendment, and I don't think that that is a good idea, you know, just given the First Amendment. Thank you, and I'll take my comments off here.
All right. So, Miguel, thank you for the call. Very important call because things are happening in the country right now. We don't know what's going to happen with the special prosecutor, Mueller. I mean, he could be fired, and people are ready to go banana pie in the streets if something like that happens. And how would San Antonio respond to that, Councilman?
First, thank you, Miguel. I think these are two great points. You know, the point is to protect all free speech. In fact, you know, I was just mentioning anecdotally that currently there is a group outside my field office protesting.
It's a small group.
It's
three or four guys.
And
that's the Texas Freedom Force.
Texas Freedom Force.
And they didn't like your participation in the removal of the leading the removal of the Confederate monument in downtown.
That is correct, and you know, I stand by. That decision, and I think that part of this is understanding. I think it relates to the second point he made about the political views and political groups that are being quieted. Having discussions, having different points of views is what makes us stronger. And I know here in San Antonio, we're not afraid of having a conversation. We're not afraid of debating some important issues. As we see the rest of the country trying to tighten down on free speech. I'm extremely proud that here in San Antonio we are expanding it, we're protecting it, because that's the city that we are.
And Jolene Garcia with San Antonio Free Speech Coalition, I mean, if things get really kind of strange with our leadership in Washington, D.C., are you guys going to be flooding the streets with protests?
Well, I think that there should be an ongoing level of accountability that the public, demonstrates to their elected officials. It shouldn't just be around election time. We need to make sure that our public, publicly elected officials know how we feel about all issues. And that's just good for democracy. That's good for making informed decisions. But I do want to say that as across the country, when they are curbing on free speech, that we need to remember the Benjamin Franklin quote that says, they who give up essential liberties, to obtain a little temporary safety, do not deserve either. You know, it's true. These essential and fundamental liberties are that important. And I believe it deserves an investment from the city and an investment in our time and our resources to allow them to go forward.
Okay, and you wanted to join here, and we're going to call her after that.
Very good. I just wanted to be able to address the caller's first question regarding spontaneous assembly in places where there is not traffic. And so he was specifically talking about parks. And so we want to be abundantly clear. So there's two ways to have your assembly in parks. One, you can permit a park, and what that allows you to do is keep others out of your space. Absent that, you can have a spontaneous assembly without a permit for a park. The issue then is just making sure that others can share the space at the park.
Okay, Alamo Plaza, does that count as a park?
No.
It does not. But Alamo Plaza is a place that many people have been protesting mm-hmm. there, all sorts of reasons, for decades. So is that a sanction? Does it have a special status, Councilman?
I think in this community it certainly does. And this is exactly the kind of thing that we must protect. We must protect the ability to have an inclusive dialogue and depending on,
because place is important in these things.
Yeah, absolutely. Place and time, and so I think these are the kind of things that we're addressing with this ordinance.
Okay, here's a caller, Mary. Hi, Mary. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. I am a little bit concerned about the fact that we seem to be talking about free speech and not talking about the fact that roadways are designed for cars to get people from place one to place two, and that when you close them down, you are moving large numbers of vehicles onto streets that were not designed to hold large numbers of vehicles, and that there is a cost both in time, convenience, and for public safety to these things. And we need to make sure that those costs are being covered. And I don't think a two-day planning period to shut down a major road or to have something where you have to get a large number of police is a problem. The other thing is I would like to think about our airports very carefully. I can imagine that when we're talking about things like racial insensitivity, yeah, we will want to go out there and protest, but you're also opening the doors to people who are anti-Muslim, anti-immigrant, coming in and shouting nasty things to people who are visiting our city for the first time, coming off of planes. And so I want to make sure that we're being aware that when we open the door to these things that we consider positive protest and positive free speech, you are also opening us up to all of the alt-right, all of these other negative things and things that we saw in Charlotte. And so are we ready to have our airport, our front door, be the space where we are having these conversations in front of visitors and neighbors? And that's it. I'll take my comments off the air.
Mary, thank you so much for that call. So, Elizabeth, talk about this. This applies to everyone. If the Ku Klux Klan wants to have a protest, they have to go through the same process that everyone else has to go through. And there are safeguards in place to make sure that we don't play favorites, right?
That's correct. The content cannot be considered. And I think Jolene raised the point earlier as well about, the types of speech are afforded the same protection. And so whatever, and that's
what everybody has to keep in mind in all of those scenarios as we propose the various changes. I think to Mary's points about balance, again, the piece that's important and that's always part of our recommendations going forward is we take the community input and we work with the experts in public safety as well as operational directors, is that we're always going to be looking to balance the three interests of the free speech concerns, the sharing of spaces, like she mentioned with the roadways and other people's rights, as well as that of public safety. And so with regard to what gets proposed, it is always, in our opinion, going to be a balance of those interests.
Question from Samir on Twitter. How do other cities do this? Is San Antonio unique in that? So, Jolene?
So the city of Los Angeles also doesn't charge for their First Amendment processions. We did a review of the top 25 cities in the country, and we found other cities that, like San Antonio, moved to have free speech without the barrier of cost. In addition, the city of Orlando does something similar. And so we're not unique, but we are one at the very lead of this movement to make sure that free speech is protected. And so, informed ourselves about what other cities were doing before we made these suggestions to the city council.
Roberto Trevino, District 1 City Council member, what's the timeline on making these adjustments?
Well, it looks like we're going to have something here very soon in the next month or so. We're currently also trying to get a B session and then followed by an A session. Well, no, we've already done the B session, I apologize.
So is there more opportunity for public feedback on this?
Well, the answer to that is really clear. There's always going to be opportunity for feedback. We built that into all these discussions. We know that we're not creating a perfect document, but it's certainly a vast improvement, as Jolene has mentioned. So moving forward, we need to see how this is going to affect the current ordinance and what we need to do to make sure that we're not creating some adverse effects or unintended consequences, so that we can have an ordinance that
a lot of this falls onto the shoulders of the police department. How do they feel about it?
Well, they have been very, very active in participating in this effort. I want to thank Officer Benavides of Traffic, and he's really dug deep in understanding that and trying to make people understand that, look, SAPD is looking out for the safety of all people, whether they're in cars or protesting in the streets. This is really part of all their duty, and we know that they've been very, very proactive and helpful in helping to.
And as we wrap up, I want to get a clarification about signs at the city council meeting.
Yes, thank you. Just wanted to be sure that we clarify signs are allowed in council chambers. You just can't obstruct the view of people in chambers.
You have to be aware of what you're doing.
Correct.
Courteous with that.
Correct.
And the people up front know that. The guards know you can bring signs in.
We'll will make ensure that guards know. Security guards, I'm getting info now. Advise of the rule.
All right. Okay. All right, so this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in.